Let's open our Bibles now in the Gospel of John, chapter 1. We will sing the 14 first verses. The book, the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 1 through 14. The book, the Gospel of John, chapter 1, beginning verse 1. This is the word of the living God, and he says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of man. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to this world, to his own, and his own people did not receive him, but to all who did receive him, who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who are born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the Son, only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth." Let's pray again. Oh, Heavenly Father, we read your scriptures, and now we ask you that may you can guide us, and may we will see the greatness of your word and the greatness of your Son, and we will be able to praise his name with everything we have. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We will use the sermon in this text to expound the Lord's Day 5. You can find Lord's Day 5 in your Forms and Prayers book, page 205. And we will read two questions in Lord's Day 5 to introduce what we will see in the Gospel of John, the first 14 verses. So, using the Lord's Day 5, I will read the question and I ask you to reply with the answer. Question number 12. According to God's righteous judgment, we deserve punishment, both now and in eternity. How then can we escape this punishment and return to God's favor? And the answer? God requires that his justice be satisfied. Therefore, the claims of this justice must be paid in full, either by ourselves or by another. And question 13, can we make these payments ourselves? And the answer is certainly not. Actually, we increase our debt every day. So these two questions will introduce what we will see in the first verses of the Gospel of John. Here, those who made the Heidelberg Catechism, they were thinking about deliverance, as we can see in the part 2 of the Heidelberg Catechism before the Lord's Day 5. The idea is to understand how God saved his people and how we are able now to come to his presence and to see the greatness of the works of our Lord. And here, the questions are bringing our attentions to the fact that something was required to satisfy the justice of God. And then the question 12 will bring the idea that we deserve the punishment about our sins. We, of course, need to pay this price, and we need to understand then how can we escape from this punishment. In the previous week, we were questioning exactly that. How can we save ourselves from our sins? We already know that sin came to this world, that with sin that came to this world, so we are lost, and in our sins we are not able to do anything to God. But the question then is, what can we do to satisfy God's justice? The answer for that is that we are not able to do anything, either ourselves or anything or anyone in this world. We are not able to find any person in this world among us, among the creatures of God, that are able to come to His presence and say, I will pay the price for these people. We are not able to do that for ourselves, to our children, to this congregation. We are just completely incomplete because sin corrupts our bodies, our minds, our relationship with God, and we are not able to do anything. And any other creature is able to do that. We can see that in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, sacrifices were made through Israel to offer something to God in return of their sins. But that was not able to pay the price for their sins. That is why in the New Testament, everything starts with Jesus Christ saying, look, the sacrifices that we made in the past, they were pointing to something, they were speaking about something, but they were not able to pay the price of their sins. They could do that to ask mercy to God, to ask forgiveness to God, as we can do that through our prayers, but the price cannot be paid through ourselves, through any other person. And actually, what the answer of question 13 says is that our debt is increased every day. So, this is exactly what Psalm 130, verse 3, will say. If you, O Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? Because every day we are increasing our debt in your presence. Every day we are showing to Him that we don't deserve His mercy and we don't deserve His grace. So, something needs to be made to bring us, to return us to His presence and to His favor. And then we need to look to the Gospel of John. Contrary to all the other Gospels, John doesn't start speaking about Jesus Christ in person. He speaks about Jesus Christ as God. And of course, he has a purpose with that. The Gospel of John was written to manifest that Jesus Christ is much more than a normal or a regular man. Of course, he was made by flesh. He had blood in his veins. He had all the organs. But he was not only that. He was much more than that. And then we will see what he was starting much before what we think that we know his story. In the beginning, it's the first words that we can find in the Gospel of John. But this beginning is not in the day when Jesus Christ was born. It is speaking and is showing a relationship with Genesis 1, which said in the beginning, God created heaven and earth. And attached to that, John is saying, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So here, John is trying to make us understand who is the person of Jesus Christ. He's willing to make us identify who is our Redeemer. And to make us identify who is He, He needs to make us look to Him in the beginning of everything. First, here, the word is Logos. In the beginning was the Logos. It was the Word in English translation. It's interesting because in Portuguese we translate as in the beginning was the verb, because verb usually it's the main clause of the sentence. So it's the most important clause of the sentence. It's what we really need to identify to understand the sentence. But in English you translate to Word. In the beginning was the Word, so He was in the beginning of everything. Just one phrase, and John is already speaking about Jesus Christ, not as a human being, but he's speaking about Him as someone who exists before creation. He was in the beginning, and He was the Word. And what else is John speaking about Him? And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Two expressions, two ways to say that Jesus Christ was there, and He was not only there, but He was the God, the person of God itself. So Jesus Christ, and we need to understand that, and with one verse, the scripture rebukes all the story about a personal Jesus, a Jesus Christ who is just a prophet, a good leader, or a good example to everyone in this world. There are a big movement, especially in evangelical and some liberal, and most of all liberal theology, speaking about Jesus Christ as a person and only a person. They want to say He is not God. He was just a great man, a good example to be followed, and He is someone who needs to be respected, but He is nothing else than that. And because of this, they are following this man. And why I say about this man like a normal man and not Jesus, because when we create an image of Jesus Christ that doesn't correspond with the image of Jesus Christ in the scripture, we are just creating an idol to follow it. And their Jesus, it's not our Jesus. And we need to understand that, especially when we speak with liberals. Because they are speaking about a man who is not our Lord, our Savior, and our Redeemer. They have their own idol, they have their own person, and they name Him Jesus, but He's not Jesus. Because Jesus, the truly Jesus, it was in the beginning, and in the beginning He was with God, and in the beginning He was God. And this is our Savior, our Redeemer, and our Master. And we need to understand that, to understand the answer that we are seeking today about the payment of our sins. So in verse 2, he adds something, but in English and maybe in other translations, it's difficult to understand what he's adding here. He says he was in the beginning with God, and that it expressed almost the same that in verse 1 we can find. But the words here in Greek, they are different to express a new way to manifest Him in that moment. The words that John used was prostonteon, and Translating to us, it's like he was there face to face with God. So he's speaking about a relationship that is much more than just someone following God as a Lord. We don't want to understand that Christ was something less than God. He was God, and this phrase specifically speaks a lot about the relationship about the second person with the first person of Trinity. Face to face, looking in his eyes, looking at him, staring him. And why is this important? Because any creature is able to do that with God. Can you look to the scripture when those who saw God in a different ways, how they saw the person of God? They were never staring him. They were never able to look at him. And all the times they were falling down as dead because they were not able to look to God and see the greatness of his holiness and be alive. Any creature is able to do that. When we look, for example, to Ezekiel, when we see the angels of God in the same image, or when we look to Revelation, when we look to the angels in the presence of God, or Isaiah, they are always covering their faces. And why angels and seraphims are covering their faces? Because they are not able to stare God. They are not able to look to God. And they are angels. They are creatures much more bigger than just human beings. But they are not able to look face to face to God. They hide their faces. Because they realize that the majesty of God, the greatness of God, the holiness of God is too much for any creature. But Jesus Christ was there, and he was face to face with God. He was looking to him because he was God and he was part of the Trinity. Of course, these verses, they are speaking about the relationship with Jesus Christ, and they are speaking about Trinity. We will not find this word in the scripture, but the doctrine is everywhere in the whole scripture. But our goal today is not to speak about Trinity, is to speak about the second person of the Trinity, Jesus Christ our Lord. And verse 3 speaks that all things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. So he is God itself, he was with God, he was face to face to God, and then we realize that everything that exists was made by his hand. So, if we have the world that we live, it's because Jesus Christ made it. If there are trees, if there are rivers, if there is oxygen in the atmosphere, if there are all the stars in the universe, the sun, the moon, everything exists because of him. So, in another verse, he's questioning all the human perspective of creation, because they think that everything came to this, to reality by chance, like by something, power, I don't know, that they cannot explain. And in this theory they say, well, everything happened in billions of years and we are a lot of lucky, here we are, and we can understand that the Word became the Word. But no, this is not what the Scripture is saying. The Scripture is saying that by His will, by the Word of God, which is Jesus Christ, everything came to reality. So there were no trees and rivers and people and animals. Nothing was there before he speak his word. And after that, after the 6 days of creation, everything exists. And here we are until today, because He is providing everything we need to exist. So the scripture is telling us that He is the creator of everything. Everything in this world depends on Him, were made by Him. He is the creator of the universe. And that says about Him that He is also bigger than all the creation. So look to the creation, and of course, as human beings, when we look to creation, we realize that we are not able to see everything that exists. We can see, like, I don't know, in miles, but it's a lot of miles in heaven. We can see stars and other galaxies in many different parts, but they say the universe is infinite. It will never be done. So Jesus Christ is bigger than that because He made all of this. All the stars, He can call them by name. And all the galaxies, He made all of them. And everything was made by His hand. So He's bigger than the universe. And we are not able to understand the universe, but we are able to see that He is the creator of everything. And verse 4 adds to that in Him was life, and the life was the light of men. So, how can exist life in the universe? It's only possible because He gave His life to us. So, if we are here today, it's because we already received the gift of life that Jesus Christ gave to us. And He planned that before the beginning of everything. And His life was the light of man. What that means? It means that everything that exists, everything that breathes, everything that it's alive, depends completely of the life who exists on Him. So there is only one fount of life in the universe, and that is Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. So, until here, we are understanding who is He. And in verse 5, He adds to that the fact that the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. So what that means and why he's speaking about that? Because suddenly John is moving our eyes from the heaven to the earth. His purpose is to bring us the person of Jesus Christ and to speak to us the gospel of Jesus Christ. So he will not continue speaking about Jesus Christ in the beginning in heaven as a ruler of the world, but he wants us to understand that, and now he wants to move our eyes to the earth. And in the earth, the light shines in the darkness. So we know that, we already know now that sin had corrupted all the creation, the world was corrupt by sin, and that came to this world. So darkness spread everywhere, and this world is darkness, but suddenly the light came to this world. And the world, the darkness, was not able to overcome it. Because His light, it's the fount of every light. And there is no darkness able to turn off His light. This is the person of Jesus Christ. This is how John is speaking about the person of Jesus Christ. And then let's go back to Heidelberg Catechism question 14 now, because here we are able to understand what Heidelberg is trying to explain us in that question, in that answer. It asks, can another creature, any at all, pay this debt for us? And the answer is no. To begin with, God will not punish any other creature for what a human is guilty of. Furthermore, no mere creature can bear the weight of God's eternal wrath against sin and deliver others from it. So, if any other creature are allowed, are able to do that, how can we be saved? This is the question of every man. We should make that question to ourselves. How can we be saved? And the answer is here in the five first verses of the Gospel of John. He's saying, no creature is able to do that, because in the among darkness, darkness are not able to bring light. But when the light came to this world, hope came to this world. But to do that, Jesus Christ, He lived the presence of God, the glory of God, the greatness of God, to become as one of us. And then we realize that the sufferings of Jesus, they began much earlier than we think. Many people look to the works of Jesus and they think that at the cross He suffered and He paid the price for our sins. But we need to realize that here He is already paying the price. When He left the presence of Himself, when He left the throne of God to become one of us, He was making Himself as one of His creatures. And this is when He starts to pay the price of our sins. He's humiliating Himself. He's leaving His glory, His power, His greatness to be one like us. And to speak about this light, John spoke about this other John, John the Baptist, who will be now presenting verses 6 to 12. Not only him, but what he's speaking about. Because in verse 6, the only thing we have is that there was a man sent from God whose name was John, and the book of John, the Gospel of John, will speak a little bit more about John the Baptist, but here he's called John just to say that he was a witness, is in verse 7. And he was a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. So this man, called John, he came to this world to be a witness about what the author of the Gospel of John is speaking about. The idea here is that we need to look to this book and we need to understand that God is bringing witness about the truth that John is revealing in the five first verses of this Gospel. We are witness of this Jesus. We are not witness about a man who died because of sins. We are witness about how God sent His only Son to die for our sins. This is very important, because only through this understanding we will be able to see that only God by Himself would be able to pay His only price, the price of the justice of God. Any creature would be able to be there in that day, for example at a cross, and continue being faithful to God until the end. We know that because we are like Adam. And like Adam, we are still sinning. We are still breaking the laws. We are still breaking the commandments. And we are just showing that everything that the Scripture says is true. We need a Redeemer. We need someone bigger than us to save us. And here the answer is that He came as a witness to bear witness about the light. So here the gospel starts speaking about a light who came to this world, and a light that shined salvation and brought good news to this world. This man, John, he was in the desert preaching about salvation, preaching about repentance, and a lot of people was coming to him, a lot of people was coming and asking him about what he was, if he was one of the prophets, if he was the Christ, if he was someone important. And he just said, "No, I'm nothing. Just look to the one who is coming after me. Because he is the light. He is the Savior. He is the only one who can pay the price of your sin." He was baptizing with water, but Jesus Christ would baptize in a different way. He was offering a perspective of salvation, but Jesus Christ was bringing the full salvation for His people. He is the Master, He is the Prophet, He is the Lord. And the true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming to this world. And in verses 10 to 12, we will understand what happened when the life was in this world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him. Yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, but his own, his people did not receive him. So what we are seeing here, it's that when we look to his ministry, it doesn't seem a ministry that fulfilled what he was expecting to do. He was a master that was rejected by his disciples. He was a savior that was not accepted by those who were being saved by him. He was a Lord, and his serves were saying, "Oh, you are nothing to us. We are just rejecting you." And that is the reality of Jesus Christ. He was in this world, but this world reject him. They just said, "We don't need you. We don't accept you. Everything you have is not what we need." And this is the reality of every man before the calling of the Holy Spirit. I know that many of you were born in church. You are the second, the third, or fourth generation of believers. So many times we are not able to identify when we came to Christ, because we just learn about our Savior. And that is what the covenant says. That is the promises of the covenant, that our children, they will belong to God. They belong completely to God. So many of us doesn't understand. But when the Holy Spirit comes to invite us, if you speak with a person who became a believer when they were old, you will see that by a fraction of a second of time, everything in his mind and in his heart changed completely. That is what happened when the Savior comes, and when the presence of Jesus Christ starts to mean something to our heart. The guy was a worshiper of an idol. He offered his life to praise for something made by the hands of man. But he was a priest in this, I don't know the religion, you can think any religion. But suddenly, he listened about the gospel of Jesus, and the Holy Spirit speaks to him, and he calls him. And immediately, his God it's nothing. His religion is nothing. All his faith is falling down. And they just see that there is a true God in this world, and his Savior is Jesus Christ. That is something that is happening everywhere in the world right now. When people who are not called by Christ are being called, and they are leaving everything, they are offering their lives, many of them will be rejected by their families, many of them can be killed or murdered because of their faith. But they know, suddenly they know that what John is speaking about, what John the Baptist was speaking about, is truth. The life came to this world, the Savior came to this world, He paid the price of my sins, and I just cannot do anything besides follow Him, because He's God. He's my Savior. He's my Master. He made everything that any other creature, any other false god, anything in this world could do. He paid the punishment of the sins of the people of God fully and completely. He is Jesus Christ. But then, in verse 12, John speaks about those who received Him and those who believed Him. And then we are seeing a different reality in the same text. Because here everyone was rejecting Him, but now those who received Him, He gave them the right to become children of God. And that is a completely different statue that the previous one. They were in darkness. They were not able to save themselves. They were completely lost. But suddenly, they are called children of God. So, here, he's also speaking about adoption. And when we look to adoption, we understand the greatness of the works of Jesus Christ and the greatness of what God is doing to His church. We were people who reject Him. We are sinners. We don't deserve any kindness or grace or mercy from God. But then He just looked to us and He called us sons and daughters. We are part of His family. He is like His blood is now in our veins. We are saved and now we are adopted by the God who made everything. We are part of His family. We are His children. And then He explains that we're not born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. So, here, the story is complete. The story is, look, nothing in this world could plan that to you. This is something perfect that God planned in eternity. Eternity in the past. He prepared everything to save me and you to Him. And now, because of His plan, we are part of His family, not only here, but forever. This is what this Jesus Christ is doing for us. And before reading the verse 14, let's look to the last question in the Heidelberg Catechism. Question 15, which asks, what kind of mediator and deliverer should we look for them? And the answer is, one who is a true and a righteous man, yet more powerful than all creatures, that is, one who is also true God. So here, in question 15, We can look to John and we can understand that he is speaking exactly all those things. He is a true and a righteous man. The light came to this world, and the darkness were not able to overcome it. The darkness didn't touch the light. The light continued shining until the end, until the moment that Jesus Christ sacrificed Himself for us. Yet, He needs to be more powerful than all creatures, and He is much more powerful. He is not only powerful, but He is the fount of the power. He was the creator of all His creatures. So Jesus Christ is exactly what we need. And He is the one who is also true God. He was with God. He was face to face with God. And He was the own God. So here we can see that John is speaking exactly what we need to see Jesus Christ as our mediator and our deliverer. And then verse 14 will close everything, speaking that, "And the Word became flesh and dwell among us, and we have seen His glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth." This is one of the most beautiful verses in the whole Scripture for me, because it summarizes everything we need to know about our Savior and about our Redeemer. He was the Word. He became flesh. He dwelt among us. He made everything we need to make it possible to save His people. We never deserve that. We never deserve His works. We never deserve His deeds. But even so, He came and He made everything He made to save us. And when He made that, we saw His glory. His glory is manifest through His work. Look to Jesus Christ. Look to the person that we are speaking about until this moment. He is completely perfect. He is exactly what we need. He is the only one who needs to be respectful. He is the only one great. He is the only one powerful. He is the only one that we should praise and glorify, because He is everything. Without Him we will be lost. He is Jesus. He is the glory should be given to Him. All the glory. He is the only truly Son of the Father. He is full of grace. He is full of truth. Everything that comes from Him, it's amazing. It's perfect. Because He is the only Savior. And we need to understand that. Because our minds, our hearts, the culture, this world, everything around us will try to convince us that He is not enough. And this is the problem when we deal with texts like this. Because we realize the greatness of the second person of the Trinity. We recognize that He is everything that we need. We realize that He made everything to save us. But if all this knowledge doesn't change us, it seems that we are not understanding. Because if we continue to live our lives ignoring a Savior such as this, if we live our lives forgetting about all the benefits of His Word, if even for one day or one hour or one minute in our lives, we forget about His gracious gift to save us, we are just ignoring the only thing which is important for us. It's impressive to see that in the Scripture, especially in the New Testament, we are seeing this witness bear witness with a great testimony of how Christ changed their lives. They were completely different after Jesus Christ in their lives. And it's interesting to see how they were willing to go, to preach, to teach. They were not able to stop to talk about His greatness, His kindness, His love. Everything we see in the Scripture is exactly that. They could say a lot of things about their time, but they decide to say only things about Jesus because this is the only thing important. And it's exactly the same for us. Of course, we need to learn a lot of things in this world. We need to study, we need to work, we need to do all the stuff that we do. But we are not allowed to forget about our Savior, because He is more important. This book, which speaks about Jesus, is more important than all the books that you are reading. The person that speaks through this book is more important than all the other persons that you want to speak with. The time with your friends, with your family, cannot be complete if Jesus Christ is not there. Because He is everything. He was in the beginning. He is everything. And for Him, we are living for. So, looking to that, and thinking our deliverance, we also need to live how we will deal with this truth. Are you going back to your home today just to do exactly what you made in the previous week? Or are you willing to leave Jesus Christ guide you and guide your family and guide your steps to make you a servant and a child of God? We need to follow Him, and we will see the glory of the Lord. God is moving. He's using His king, His people into His to bring His kingdom, and we need to be part of it. Let's pray. Close your eyes. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for the person of Jesus Christ. We thank You, God, that You send Your only child, or God and Savior, to come to this world and pay the price of our sins. We thank You for Your deliverance. We thank You because Jesus Christ fulfilled all the aspects that You need to pay the price and to receive the justice of God. And here we are because we can see His glory, because we are able to see the greatness of our Lord and Savior. And we want to praise His name because He is everything for us. Oh God, please change us once we know who is our deliverer. Change the way we deal with this word. Change the way we deal with our family. Change the way we are looking to this word and we are living this word. Make us love Your Scripture. Make us love our Lord. Make us love to have time with You, to pray to You, to read Your Scripture. Make us love to speak and to be witness about Jesus Christ. Change us, God, and make us like this Jesus Christ, because He was perfect, and we want to follow His paths. We want to be like Him. So please, God, kill the old man which is trying to live on us, and make us live to praise and to glorify the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. We pray in His name.